joining us as we get ready to kick off the second hour of the show. In the first portion, I will give you like a little rundown on some of the news stories to catch you up on, and then we'll also be taking some callers as well. So make sure you give us a call if you're interested in joining the show and discussing any of the topics we've discussed thus far. Again, we'll be taking those calls in a little bit for this show. And then in the third hour of the show, let me just give you a little heads up as to who we have coming on. Mehek Cook is on the ground right now in Ohio, and she's knocking on the doors of daycares in Ohio right now. It's a very dangerous job because they're not very happy with the fact that Mehek is, who's an attorney, by the way, they're not happy that Mehek is asking the tough questions. Like, can I get a form? Can I see some things here? Are you guys really taking kids? Well, they're not opening doors. And when they do, they assault her. We've got the video. She's been assaulted twice so far by asking simple questions. And she's joining us on the ground as she continues to ask those questions all around Ohio. So we'll be joined by her in just a bit as well. In the third hour, also joining me will be Miss Mel Kay. Mel Kay, obviously, a good friend of mine. She's been doing a lot of digging into a lot of incredible topics. But most importantly, she joined me in the riveting job that we had to watch the 8-hour deposition of Jack Smith. Now, of course, Republicans, because they were spineless, they decided to drop that deposition video right before New Year's Eve. They were hoping, I guess, that we weren't going to watch. I don't know why they did it. And the only reason why I think that they did this intentionally was because during the deposition, it actually came out that Jack Smith wanted to testify publicly, and that for some reason, House Republicans didn't want that to happen. It's a real head scratcher. Mel Kay joining me because she was upset that Jack Smith wasn't arrested on the spot for openly admitting to locking President Trump up. I mean, he literally says, and we'll play it for you too. Now, President Trump didn't have his First Amendment rights when talking about election fraud in 2020. No, he really thinks it wasn't protected by the First Amendment. And he said it with a straight face. We'll play that for you in a bit as well. We'll also be playing a clip regarding Project Veritas. And in case you forgot, 6 years ago, they uncovered a massive amount of fraud in Minnesota, but specifically illegal ballot harvesting. Now, it's important that we remind you that this has been going on for a very long time. It's been happening in the Somalian community for a very long time. And there was no accountability after PV dropped that report. It was an absolute bombshell. And for some reason, our politicians, who are a bunch of cowards, just decided not to make a move on that. Now, that probably is the reason why we have Ilhan Omar, some might say. So we'll play that for you today. We'll also play a clip of the Israeli prime minister who is trying his very best to push this threat that he's been pushing for far too long now, that Iran is getting ready to attack the U.S. So we all need to jump in on this war with him. We'll play that clip for you. We'll also play the proof that he's been doing this for far too long. And we'll also talk about an Israeli billionaire who is on a mission. His New Year's resolution is to eliminate the First Amendment in this country. Don't you love those billionaires? So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We'll also give you an update about a fire that happened out inside of a Swiss ski resort bar on New Year's Eve. The video is insane. But sadly, over 40 people have been killed with over 100 injured. I'll give you the latest as to what caused that fire in just a bit as well. Now, that fire that you see on your screen, too, is a fire that took place at a church. So I want to keep reminding you guys that churches just don't go randomly setting themselves on fire. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's a growing theme. And we're not allowed to talk about how these fires all of a sudden start. But I will, for sure. Well, let's talk about Saudi Arabia, because last year alone, they executed over 300 people. Now, if you're wondering why Saudi Arabia did this, that's, well, it's probably, I don't know, maybe we should in the U.S. take them up on this, because it kind of sounds like a good idea. Saudi's going to lead on anything. This might actually be it. I'll detail that for you in just a bit. So we've got a lot more to dive into throughout the show. So buckle up, more to discuss. Again, folks, if you'd like to join the show, give us a call right now. We will be taking calls in about, I guess I'd say 25 minutes, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a moment.
B Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Glad you're all joining us today. We're taking your calls for a portion of this hour. So if you want to join the show, talk about maybe a news story we talked about thus far, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you'd like to call to join today's program. We've got a lot to discuss. So again, 877-789-2539 is the number to jump in on. All right. Let's dive into a couple more stories. Now, again, we'll be talking to two incredible guests, Maha Cook on the ground right now in Ohio, knocking on doors as an attorney, trying to learn more about the Somalian daycares in her state, and also Mel Kay joining us as well. Now, when it comes to the fraud, I want to make this very clear. This isn't something that's brand new. We've known for quite some time now that Somalians have been committing fraud, not just financial, but also election fraud. And we only know this because of the great folks over at Project Veritas before it was obviously dismantled, we could say. PV really put out a bunch of great work, and their journalists did an incredible job at uncovering something massive in Minnesota. Probably the reason why Ilhan Omar has landed in this position. There was a massive amount of illegal ballot harvesting exposed in 2020, which if you're wondering how many arrests it led to, well, the answer is, well, sadly none, because Republicans are spineless. Take a listen to clip three.
O'Keefe here in downtown Minneapolis at the scene of the crime. The person you're about to meet, Liban Mohammed, a.k.a. King Liban I, boasts about the hundreds of absentee ballots in his car.
There was video. You can see the video. There was a video out and about that he has the ballots in his car.
Right.
And talking about the only way you can win is with money. I was looking at them and they were not filled. They were blank.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots?
People who work with, like, Ilhan Omar.
Where do they pay the money?
The minute we sign the thing, the election, that's what you get paid.
Money is everything. Money is the key in this world. If you ain't got money, you should not be here, period.
At the end of this street,
yes,
there's three towers called one tower.
Okay.
And it's all seniors, and they took every ballot.
Every ballot. They just take them from them.
Every single ballot. They knock on the door and say, your ballot's come, give it to me.
They don't even pay them for it. They just take it.
No. And the ones that didn't vote on ballots, the young people and the women and stuff, they were paying cash. They were getting bags of money the last 1 week here to drive people. So there's a vested interest, but we are victims of the system. They don't give a shit about any Somali.
Two in the morning, still hustling.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots?
People who work with, like, Ilhan Omar and other candidates work for them. They came to us, to our apartments. They tell us that this year you're going to go for it. You don't go nowhere, you stay home, we will tell you fill out the absentee ballot. When it comes, we'll come and get it. You just don't go nowhere, you stay here. They fill out for us.
You know, it's sad to say that Project Veritas obviously has gone away. They did do incredible work as a unit, and it is very sad to see that that incredible reporting resulted in absolutely no arrest. But not surprising, of course, because Republicans are spineless. They're a bunch of cowards. They're too afraid to touch issues like that because they don't want to offend the Somalian population. This is an ongoing issue, of course, because our very own have traded us in. So again, great journalism done at the hands of independent journalists. And sadly, lawmakers were too cowardly to do anything about that. Now, again, I continue to wait for a response from our own immigration services, because Ilhan Omar is obviously someone who should not be allowed to be in Congress. But she's there. But she's there. Let's get to another topic. Let's talk a little bit about Israel, because the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been at Mar-a-Lago. He's been hanging out with President Trump, but I know it's got a lot of people on edge because, well, let's be honest here. The Israeli Prime Minister has a lot of foreign influence, specifically, though, in this country. Sadly, our politicians are continuing to pretend like this man is a man who speaks truth. He's obviously inching this country closer to a war with Iran, and that is his goal. Take a listen to clip six, because in clip six, this was an interview he did with Newsmax in regards to the Iranian threats, and now he's trying to pin it on Venezuela, and he's trying to kind of make it sound like this is very, very serious, and the U.S. really has to get involved. Take a listen.
We've had an unbelievable success, and by degrading Iran, which was a first-rate power, now it's a second-rate or third-rate power, they were throwing their weight all over the place, exporting terrorism, not only to every part of the Middle East, but to Venezuela. They're in cahoots with the Maduro regime, you know. They're exporting terrorism to America, to the American hemisphere. And then they want these Hezbollah and Hamas to get their guys into the United States. So Hamas and Iran's and its proxies are a threat not only to us, but to all, to Israel, all America's allies in the Middle East, and to America itself.
All right, he's been pushing this Iranian threat for quite some time. That's not the first time he's done it. And that's the reason why so many people strongly dislike the prime minister. Take a listen to clip seven and the videos that were put together to highlight the fact that he continues and has been doing this for many, many years now.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year. It could be within a few months.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly. If they wanted to do it.
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the rich uranium for an atom bomb.
Iran is gearing up to have to produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year, 250 bombs in a decade.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
Iran will be capable of producing alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
This is why so many Americans truly do not like Israel and our ties to Israel, and it's rightfully so. He has been drumming up this fear-mongering campaign in regards to Iran. And it's not saying that Iran isn't a threat to the United States, but his continuous push to inch this country closer to war with Iran is something that many Americans are deeply, deeply concerned about. And we see that in everyday polls, that younger and younger Americans are, well, they've had enough. They've had enough. Now, it's not just obviously the prime minister. It's also billionaires coming from Israel. There's an Israeli prime, there's an Israeli billionaire, Shlomo Kramer, who was just on CNBC the other day. And he has deemed that our constitutional rights in regards to the First Amendment are actually a threat. And they need to be regulated because this is a global threat when you get to say whatever you want to say. And it's completely unfiltered. Take a listen to clip eight as well.
Network Shlomo Kramer, also one of the founders of Checkpoint, another big cyber company. Shlomo, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How is AI cyber warfare shaping geopolitics right now?
So AI is going to revolutionize cyber warfare, is revolutionizing cyber warfare from critical infrastructure to the fabric of society and politics and undermining it, giving unfair advantage to authoritarian governments against democratic countries, First Amendment type of...
That's already happening?
Yeah, that's already happening. You're seeing the polarization in countries that allow for the First Amendment and protect it, which is great. And I know it's difficult to hear, but it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it. And quickly before it's too late.
What do you mean?
I mean that we need to control the platforms. all the social platforms. We need to stack rank the authenticity of every person that expresses themselves online and take control over what they are saying based on that ranking.
The government should control social media, should do that.
And we need to educate people against lies, and government need to develop cyber defense programs that are as sophisticated as the cyber attack. Today it's a 1 to 100 ratio. And really, government are not doing this today at any rate, and enterprises are left fending from themselves.
Well, let's just be clear where I stand on all of this. Piss off, Warner. You don't get away in our free speech. You don't get away in our First Amendment and tell us how we can live our lives. No, we don't respect the government when it tries to infiltrate the First Amendment and limit speech. And when he sits there and says we need to authenticate who these people are who are making these posts online, he's talking about tracking individuals and doing what exactly you see playing out throughout Europe. They don't like free speech. They know that a free platform where Americans are able to say whatever they want is the threat because they can't control the narrative. And they want full control of the narrative. Listen, folks, you should be able to say whatever you want. And some billionaire in Israel has no control over that. That needs to be the unifying pushback on a message like that. Now, sadly, as I listened to the continuous dialogue on that interview, none of his other two panelists really gave much of a pushback. Our First Amendment isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It's a hill that myself and others are willing to die on. They will not sit here and infringe. We will not allow them to track what you want to say online and then re-educate us. We don't need re-education. We know what we're talking about. And if you want to say something that those are, especially in Israel, deem as critical, you should be able to do that because you are an American. So if you don't like it, then stay the heck out of our country. You're not welcome here. The First Amendment will forever be the hill I'm willing to die on, and so many other Americans, I'm sure. All right, let's keep it going. Let's more stories to cover, of course. I don't know if you guys saw this one. This was actually a tragedy. The Swiss ski resort on New Year's Eve had a disastrous fire that happened inside of a nightclub. 40 people have been confirmed dead, sadly, and over 100 are injured. According to reports, it all started after the fatal fire began after an accidental sparkler set the roof on fire. It was a woman who was apparently on someone's shoulders, and she was holding a champagne bottle with a sparkler. Now, the ceiling itself was flammable, and it quickly caught on fire because of that. And sadly, over 300 patrons who were inside the nightclub were unable to get out, many saying that they were unable to even breathe. There's even a video circulating online of one individual opening a side door, a glass door, which resulted in one woman coming out and she could barely breathe. It was a devastating video. And sadly, authorities are having to identify these individuals. The latest press conference, I believe, said that there were over 117 people injured in this fire. So again, absolutely devastating and highlighting the fact that a lot of these nightclubs all around the world are really a dangerous, dangerous area to go to. And they need to do a better job. There's no excuse as to why somebody would be carrying a sparkler in a place that has flammable ceilings. The ceilings, by the way, were soundproof. It looked like there was foam at the top of the ceiling, and that's what caught on fire from some of the images that have circulated on social media. So absolutely upsetting and devastating. I want to turn to back here in the homeland, because Carrie Lake is speaking what I think so many Americans want her to call out right now in clip 9. She's calling out the fact that there have not been any arrests. And she's being very, very clear on how this makes her feel. Take a listen.
There's not a damn person in handcuffs. Yet they dragged Roger Stone out of his house. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They attacked President Trump. When are we going to see some effing handcuffs on some effing criminals in this country? The American people have had it up to here. And we want some people locked up, prosecuted, behind bars for the rest of their lives. We're sick and tired of it.
All right, now it's important to note that Dan Bongino is heading out. He will be gone tomorrow from the FBI, and he looks to make his way back into the podcasting world. So one could only assume that he's going to have a lot of questions to be answered. And we expect him to answer just that. Where the hell were the arrests? It's a fair question to be asked. Now, every day on X, I post this post. And today it is January 2nd, 2026. And there's still not a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime that has been arrested. And that is a fair
assessment I think one could make. But I asked you guys on X specifically as to how many of you feel that same way. Because yes, there were some charges that were filed, charges that were now dismissed. People like Tish James, James Comey, John Bolton. So why am I continuing to post this? Well, I think that Tish James, although I think she's scum, and I saw what she did, obviously, to the president while he was campaigning, is not behind the worst of the worst. And when you look at James Comey and John Bolton, Republicans, who obviously I deem as individuals who did commit acts of treason, but they were hit with the lightest charges on the totem pole. Let's talk about James Comey again. Those charges no longer, because, again, they hit him with the softest charges and were unable to actually land a meaningful charge. I mean, yes, you could sit there and say that the judges are rogue and they are biased and it's lawfare. Yeah, I give you that. But these are two men who were not involved in the bulk of what we saw unravel. I mean, we've got the countdown. We've sat here and come together with our top most important issues. And we're looking for arrests. Things like Russian collusion, for an example. I mean, where are the Russian collusion arrests? There's none. There's none. What about conspiracy charges, treason charges? I mean, there's so much that we could be doing right now, and we're not seeing anything. You could tell me all you want that there's some things you can't talk about. If it's an ongoing investigation, the FBI can't talk about it, the DOJ can't talk about it. That's fair. But then why are we seeing continuous reports coming out from John Solomon, Fox News, with leaked documents? Again, Biden auto pen, Mar-a-Lago, the 2020 elections, Epstein, nothing, zero, 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 zero. Nothing's been done. So I assume as Bongino gets ready to make his way back to the airways, he's going to have to answer some tough questions. Now, whether or not he answers those questions authentically or figures it as a way to go and attack the rest of us, we'll just wait and see. See, the interesting part here is, you know, I've obviously been covering the White House. I've endorsed people like Director Patel and obviously Dan taking on these positions, Dan leaving prematurely. It is infuriating to see that there has not been any major arrests. And again, the FBI has to work with the DOJ, so this could be at the fault of the DOJ. We could say that as well. We don't know what's going on there. But to sit here and tell us you can't talk about ongoing investigations and then to drop certain documents, whether it's with John Solomon or Fox News or to Congress, that tells us that although you say all the time you can't talk about ongoing investigations, that that's likely not an ongoing investigation or else you wouldn't be giving those documents over. So what is it? Well, as Dan Bongino makes his way back to the mic, we look forward to hearing his response and whether he decides to be truthful to the American people, which I hope he is, or if he decides to attack those who have been critical of how things have gone thus far. Well, we'll get to see that. Listen, folks, if he decides to take the attack mode and go after Americans who are simply criticizing the fact that there has been no major arrest, that's not going to go over well. That would be a distraction rather than an actual admission of what happened behind the scenes. We'll see what route he decides to take. It sure will be a very, very interesting one, and we welcome any route he decides to take, of course, because, folks, I'm going to keep posting that post that you see there on your screen, the date and no major arrest, until there's an actual arrest made. And the best part about it, well, I know it's pissing off all the right people. All right, let's keep it going. Let's keep talking. There's a lot more to discuss. Like in Germany, a streamer in Germany, in clip 11 you're going to see, well, she's obviously a liberal, and she wanted to show that the streets of Germany are safe. Well, didn't really go over well for her, especially because African migrants and Arab migrants weren't fans of her live stream and for her being out in public late at night. Take a look.
Ah, ich habe irgendwas abbekommen. Ich habe irgendwas gegen den Kopf bekommen. Au. Ich glaube, wenn ich so 2 Meter Türsteher schrank wäre, hätten die das nicht gemacht. Ah, schon wieder, Alter! Wichser!
They're literally stoning her on her stream. Now, she's blaming not the men who did this to her, of course. She's blaming Twitter. She's telling people, she's telling her audience that folks on X took this out of context. I don't know what the in-context thing to that is. She's obviously looking behind her because she knows someone's throwing things at her. So again, this is the big problem here. Now, also just to give you some background on all of this, you know, 10 years ago, a group of girls from all over the area in Germany were attacked, sexually assaulted, and robbed by these migrant men. And that's the reason why you don't see women on the streets anymore, because they know what these men do. So while she pretends like everything's safe, women can go out there and enjoy New Year's Eve, it's obvious they can't. in Germany because they've been conquered by both African and Arab migrants. So again, the level of stupidity is off the charts on this one. And now she's still running the defense for them because, well, she's probably afraid of getting arrested by her own government if she does decide to speak the truth. All right, let me give you some insight as we head into the new year, as we are officially in the new year, I should say, in regards to taxes. Because Democrats have launched a bunch of new taxes, specifically in Michigan. The gas tax just saw an increase. It was originally at about 32 cents a gallon. Now it's been boosted to 52 cents a gallon for those who live in Michigan. The governor obviously signing that into law, so that just kicked off on January 1st. Poor people who live in Michigan right now can't even enjoy the cheap gas under the Trump administration. No, no, no. We can't let you see what Trump is actually doing. So now we're going to add 20 extra cents to each time you hit the pump. These people are absolute garbage. But yes, this is what they do, obviously, in blue states. They hold their people hostage and drain them of all their finances. Again, lawmakers pretending like this is going to go directly to roads. And so that's the reason why they're doing just that. And it's not just Michigan, too. Taxes are going up all over the place, even in places like Virginia. And you're never going to believe this, but Fairfax County specifically has just launched a new tax. Take a listen to clip 12.
Starting in January, if you go to eat out at a restaurant in Fairfax County, you will be forced to pay a 4% meals tax. This also goes for if you go to a grocery store and order prepared meals. The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors passed the food tax this year to help address their budget challenges, even though voters rejected it twice.
The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors has talked about the affordability crisis in Fairfax County. Has this board made life more affordable for their residents?
Absolutely not. A lot of talk, but when you look at the action, 50% increase in real estate taxes in 10 years, meals tax, bag tax, new regulations that increase the cost of housing. No, they haven't addressed affordability at all.
Yeah, so if you're somebody who wants to just, you know, get a meal because you've been working and slaving away for the government, trying to keep a roof over your head, well, now there's a tax for that. That's what's going on in Fairfax County. I'm sure that will lead many Americans to abandon restaurants and places, food service industries that will provide them with that because they want to pay a tax. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But speaking also of taxes, it's interesting because recently Democrats were called out for their exemptions. They were trying to go around the no tax on tip by still charging these individual state taxes. Now, obviously, President Trump pushed this as a federal policy to exempt some taxes on tips. And it caught a lot of Democrats off guard. People like New York Governor Kathy Hochul, she was criticized for not implementing the elimination of state income tax on $25,000 in tipped income. Well, she's coming forward now and supporting that policy, coming out yesterday and saying that she's kicking off the new year with a proposal for no state income tax on tips, continuing my efforts to make New York more affordable for hardworking New Yorkers. Oh, so heartwarming. Thank you, Kathy Hochul. Oh, it's never ending with these commies. All right, folks, if you want to join the show, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in just a bit, so buckle up. There's more to discuss in a moment. We'll also have two incredible guests on the third hour of this program that you're going to want to stay put for because, well, we've got an attorney right now who's knocking on doors in Ohio trying to uncover more Somalian fraud, and she'll be joining us on her mission in just a bit. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to theAlexJonesStore.com as well. Yeah, Thief Tallow just launched that. It is an incredible way to kick off your MAHA goals in 2026. Grab yourself some Thief Tallow over at theAlexJonesStore.com.
The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power up and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off attack nuke. Try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles. Blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax. Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger. Danger. Mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you because that's what I feel like. You want more? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. You want us to live in bondage. You want to cut our children's penises off. You Satanist. I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. My cells tell me I'm in a war. And to gird myself for it. And to guard myself for truth. Because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising, and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us. We're going to kick things off by taking calls in just a moment, but I wanted to get to the story that I teased for you earlier in the show in regards to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, obviously, is a very strict country that executes those who try to smuggle drugs in. And last year, for 2025, they executed 356 people. It's according to the AFP tally. That sets a new record of the number of inmates that have been executed by the kingdom in a single year. And again, they're saying that at least 243 of these people were executed for drug-related cases in 2025 alone. Now, obviously, that is very, very interesting and obviously very quick. You're convicted and you're quickly executed. But again, this is what's going on in Saudi Arabia. Maybe we could start, you know, putting the death penalty into implementing the death penalty, I guess, just drug trafficking cases. Why not? The president made that commitment during the campaign trail. And we still have not seen any of that as of yet. I also, if you want a quick little laugh, the Daily Mail released this story and it's an exclusive about a gay man who met two Afghan migrants on Grindr. Well, he met these two Afghan migrants and he thought that they were just shy. So he decided to invite them into his home. Now, obviously, when you're woke and you don't understand how these things work, you learn the hard way. And these two individuals are now accused of robbing him. Surprise, surprise, after he let them into their home. Apparently the two carried out about 35 burglaries, 20 related scams, seizing phones, watches, passports, withdrawing money from bank accounts, and more. And again, they messaged their victims on Grindr and then arranged for the meetup. Yep. The victim, who's 47 years old, lives in West London, spoke anonymously to the Daily Mail about their convictions in November, saying, you know, he just looks like a white guy in the profile picture. And again, he had no idea that these individuals were going to rob him. But he's lucky that that's all he did, because in their own country, they don't look at gay men and just want to rob them and do other things to them. So lesson learned, lefty. All right, guys, let's go to take some calls right now. And let's welcome to the show Liberty in Washington. Liberty, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Brianna. It's so nice to hear from you. Do I have an echo?
A little bit, but I could still hear you. How are you? It's good to hear from you too, Liberty.
What I want to bring up is Harrison Smith asked a question, and he said, what can we do? And I want to remind the viewers about what Trump used to do, which he doesn't do anymore. He'd tell the American people to boycott something, a company, a beer, whatever. And as a unified force, we would all do it. And I don't believe that the people really want a J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio ticket. I'm just being honest. I believe what the people would like to see is a different ticket, like an Alex Jones and General Flynn ticket. And I think that would show the people that there is going to be a new sheriff in town, one that actually believes enough to go to jail and to be prosecuted and all the stuff. And between the two of them, they have enough contact that they can make their own administration. And the guy from El Salvador, Bulabla, he went and he just eliminated entire offices. And he gave Trump a blueprint, which he's not doing. And we need to get rid of Susie Wiles. You know, I call her Susie Wiles Netanyahu. And I call Pam Bondi Pfizer. And Todd Blanche, I call him Toad Blanche. And these people need to go. And if a question could be posed and everybody agree with this, don't buy gas on Tuesday or something like that. And then everybody just collaborates and nobody buys fuel on Tuesday. So they buy it on Wednesday. They don't, or they buy it on Monday, but they don't buy it on Tuesday. And if every American watching this show did something like that, it would get attention. Take your kid out of school for, you know, on Thursday and the date, and everybody does that. But the question is, if you want Trump to do this, then everybody takes their kid out of school on Thursday, give a date, whatever, but it's like, you know, like within the week, and everybody takes their kid out of school on that day. That is going to show Trump that we are united. We are not. InfoWars is the populist vote, and he has pollsters, you know, he can ask, you know, what they would think about an AJ Flynn ticket. But we need, Alex needs to do more than us just financially supporting him, which everybody should be buying his products. But we also need something that doesn't cost anything, a change in our buying habits, whatever, and our work habits, boycott your job or whatever, you know, whatever it is, cause of action.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Liberty, I'm with you on this. I don't like the fact that we've been pushing J.D. Vance, not we, but they've been pushing J.D. Vance. I think that we shouldn't sit here and assume who the next nominee is going to be. The people decide that. And so I'm not a fan of watching people go out there and push him as if it's an automatic lane for victory. You know, J.D. Vance hasn't done anything as of yet. He's just taken on this role, and he was quickly elevated within the party to this position, which sets off a lot of red flags for me. But obviously, people like Peter Thiel and others who he has a very strong connection to are quickly elevating him. And I'm not a fan of that. So, you know, I don't dislike J.D. Vance, but I also don't like this movement to make him our nominee and pretend like there's no other challengers. I look forward to seeing who else wants to throw their hat into 2028. And whoever that is, we could kind of make our decision from there. But watching people like Erica Kirk and others at a time where we're trying to unify the party go out there and endorse J.D. Vance, I don't think that should be the tone that we all get behind right now. There are plenty of Americans out there who are looking to see what other kind of leaders looking to step their way to the top and to potentially lead this country on the Republican ticket. And I look forward to the people deciding that, not the elitists, of course. So thank you, Liberty, for joining us. We appreciate your thoughts as always. Let's get it to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Officially
Happy
say
New
it.
Year, Chad. Yes. What's on your mind?
Calling about the interview that you had earlier, great interview. And there was a specific question or a topic that you discussed about the fact of having a newsroom and then editor, you know, coming out and saying, okay, well, are we going to actually kill this story? Are we going to move forward with it? And the reason behind it. And I think that's the importance of, I think just as a whole, just seeing how I think people are waking up and realizing that the mainstream media is not where you go and get your news. Now, there are some people that I think, unfortunately, will just never get through to those individuals. It's sad, but it's true. But I think you're starting to see that, and that's moving towards critical mass. And I've always thought in my mind, I always pray for it, is that we get as many individuals to give us a critical mass moment where we push the needle into having individuals wake up on a level it's undeniable, and it moves things in the direction, at least gets things going in the direction of having maybe a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 year revolution of just clearing out and cleaning up all the systemic fraud. And I truly believe it's going to take 50 years. We all know how much fraud it exists within just the government. And then think of all the individuals that are employees to companies that are fraudulent, and it just goes on and it goes on. And then there's voting, and we were talking about a lot of getting these individuals prosecuted. But until we see sentences, mm-hmm. Bob Menendez, there's one. We had a senator, a U.S. senator, that was sentenced because of what? Taking bribes. Gold was involved, and taking bribes from who? Now, some people may say, okay, well, it was Egypt and Qatar. Okay, well, and then, you know, how does that play out? But that, going back to that, the importance of having individuals come out on mainstream media, that's probably embarrassing, which is a good thing, but it's also a good thing to see them at least admit to it. And then what has to happen is follow up with that journalist that has made that promise to be more on the side of journalism from a true and non-biased aspect and say to the people, here's what we're going to present, the truth. And that's what happens is when you have, I mean, Matt and I discussed this where he said, you know, hey, you need to make a dollar. Yes, but it also, if it's already coming in with a biased way and your sponsors and all those companies are fraudulent and they can't have you pushing forward the truth, well, then that just doesn't hold any water. You can't. So follow up with these individuals. Make sure, hold them to it, right? We got to hold these people that come out and say this. Hey, get these people sentenced, get it to the end. And that's the answer is just waking everybody up and getting to a critical mass. Thanks for your time. Yeah.
As always, Chad. No, thank you. I appreciate it. No, I agree with you. It's frustrating to see again. And when we do get these charges and we do land indictments and we're waiting for sentencing, Yeah, I mean, I don't like the fact that sometimes, too, they're getting pardoned by President Trump either. So it doesn't send the right tone either. Although he'll claim that a lot of these people are politically being prosecuted, I don't think that's in most cases, in some cases, I shouldn't say most, isn't the case. Chad, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Yeah, you know, I was 9 o'clock here in California. I decided to switch over to my smartphone and find the live broadcast of Letitia James, Attorney General Letitia James, swearing in the 112th mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani. And it was very blasé and ordinary and no cheering and no picket signs. It's almost like they didn't say where they were going to do it and nobody knew he was going to be there. There's basically nobody there at that one. But the odd thing that I guess I wasn't prepared for, it was just the normal stuff like, do you hereby swear that this and that and blah, blah, blah. But what was odd was when she got to the end, she said, "So help you God." And he goes, "So help me God." And I thought, well, wait a minute, his hand's on the Quran. He's already admitted that, you know, that's his thing. And if that's the truth, he's number one, he is allowed to lie. And number two, they don't believe in God. Allah is the only one that's, you know, the supreme being. You know, our God is just, you know, he might as well have said, "I swear on the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny." That was my thought. What does it matter that he swears to God? He could have sworn on the Easter Bunny. That's what I thought. I don't know if that means much, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, you're not alone. I don't think that the fact that he's swearing on a Quran is despicable. And the fact that he shouldn't be in this country in the first place, Tim, he's not going to take his oath seriously. He doesn't like us. He is an enemy. And sadly, they have decided to just allow this to happen, allow this to play out. So no, I don't think he takes his oath seriously. And then he sits there and does divisive things all the time and tells people, residents in New York, if you're a landlord, I'm going to seize your land if I don't like what you're doing. And so, yeah, no surprise there. So, Tim, it was very disappointing as a former New Yorker, as someone who had to flee because I saw it was getting really, really bad. And sadly, Republicans are weak. It was not easy for me to watch either. So I chose to just watch some of the clips because it's very, very sad to see New York take this deep, dark red turn, I guess we could just say at this point. It is a communist takeover, and sadly, we have just officially lost New York. So, very, very sad. Tim, thanks for calling into the show. Let's get to Brian in Canada. Brian, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Everybody's worried about the midterms, and the Democrats are charging 4% tax and 20% gas tax in Michigan. Isn't that going to help the Republicans?
Yeah, it's 20 cents. It's an additional 20 cents in Michigan, and then it's 4% in Fairfax County, Virginia. Yeah, one would think it would help them a bit. I mean, if they could explain themselves, but they're not really good at explaining that, Brian. They're not good at being able to say that, hey, listen, taxes, I mean, the price of gas is very inexpensive right now in this country. If you live in Michigan, though, you're not really receiving the benefits of cheaper gas. That's because your politicians decided to raise the cost of gas for you, and it's now going to cost you about, I think it's 52 cents a gallon in taxes alone. So even though here in Texas, I was actually just at Sam's Club, I paid, I think it was $1.98 for regular, which is insanely cheap. I never thought we could dip it below $2. But people in Michigan will never see that. And that's just the reality behind it. So, yeah, Brian, I mean, you'd think that would help them win the midterms, but I don't know if they're ever going to be able to communicate that to the voters because they really have always failed at that.
Do you think we'll see any arrests in the Democrats?
Can you repeat that? Sorry, I broke up a little bit.
Do you think we'll see any arrests in the Democrats?
No. I think that, you know, I've been pushing for it, and I hope that they do at some point make a big arrest, but I don't see them really angling to go after these deep state operatives. I think they've taken the lowest hanging fruit on the tree, rather than going after those who are responsible for the lawfare we've seen taking place over the last few years. Unfortunately, again, the key players in all of this are untouched, and I won't sell you on this. I would love to say that I'm wrong, though. I'd love to there be an arrest, a high-profile arrest of any of the individuals involved in, like, Russiagate, the Auto Pen scandal, election fraud of 2020. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening. Now, if there is an arrest, you know, I don't mind taking back my words and saying I'm wrong, but I'm also not going to oversell you, Brian. So sadly, I don't think there's any arrest coming our way. Thank you for calling, Brian. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Sean in California. Sean, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Brianna. Mike coming in loud and clear.
I can hear you.
Excellent, excellent. So I have two for one today for you. The first one is quick and easy. I was thinking kind of in the vein of what Nick Shirley's doing. Maybe InfoWars or American Journal could create a portal on your website, kind of like a how-to kit of how to do the investigative journalism and to do these investigative reports, but stay clear of running afoul of the law, because I know certain members in the InfoWars family have their ways of doing their research, what have you. So it might be a good idea just to put out a blueprint of how to do things. I've helped teach people how to do FOIAs and public records acts and stuff before. So I thought, you know, if I can do that type of training, someone in your office definitely would know how to do it. And other news dropping from the great state of Alaska, first name, I believe, dropping his name out in the governor's race coming up is a friend and mentor of mine, Destry Payne. So he'll be running for Alaska governor, and he is probably one of the best constitutional experts you can have among the general public right about now. So you got someone who actually knows the Constitution, believes in it being forced, supported the original Trump agenda before everything went sideways this second term. And I'm interested in seeing if Alaska can lead the way, because he has some ideas that I think people will find very interesting and might just restore the power of the people back to their states and to their governor's mansions. So, there was one other thing I was going to throw at you from the earlier caller, too. The lady talking about the boycotts and stuff. That's a key thing. People have to actually get off their tail and take some kind of action. The inaction days, those are gone. So whether you're, you know, get involved with general drill assemblies like I am, whether you're doing a petition drive, whether you're, heck, just, you know, helping your grandmother around the house, you know, because she's not mobile. Whatever the thing is, make life easier for the people in your community, and then expand that from your, you know, city to your county to your state. Start thinking that you got to start getting involved, either helping people or being politically active. The time for being passive is long gone.
Yeah. Well, Sean, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Now, I agree with you also in your first part when you were talking about the independent journalism world. It's something I advocate for, and I tell everyone else to get involved in, and I try to break down and simplify the FOIA stuff. It's even why I had my attorney on the show, so people could go out there and figure out how to do FOIAs on their own. State laws are kind of complicated, and so each state is a little bit different, but, you know, simply researching where funding's going and then following up is usually a pretty solid way to go about doing things. So we'll pitch it, though, over here on InfoWars to see if anyone get that up on the site as well. So, Sean, thank you for that. We greatly appreciate your time and calling in. Let's turn to Matt in Phoenix. Matt, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too. I'm kind of lamenting the fact that with all the scandal being exposed, and it's not just in Minnesota. We're hearing about it in Ohio, in Washington, Maine. I will bet you it's in all 50 states. And there's not a single person that I'm aware of that has been paraded in front of a camera with handcuffs on, although we're being told that, you know, there's all these arrests. I haven't seen a single public official being arrested. And I didn't know if you had any knowledge of anybody other than the mythical people that are allegedly being arrested, who actually is being arrested for any of this. Any idea?
Yeah. No, Matt. No, I mean, okay, so I know that the original investigation to COVID fraud in Minnesota was 2022, and I was told by a source that the Biden administration shut down that investigation as it was going on, and although there were over four dozen individuals wrapped up into that he stopped their prosecutions. And I was told that Director Patel stepped in the summertime and said, no, let's go back there and revisit this. And so that's why you've seen some recent indictments. Again, I haven't been able to verify that, but that was somebody at the FBI who wasn't very happy with my coverage about what you're talking about, Matt, about no big arrests being made on that front. So yeah, that's the rebuttal I received. But I haven't seen any big officials. And I think that this goes obviously to the top, because like I always say, as I'm over what, close to 6 million people who live in Minnesota and about 100,000 Somalians that live there. And for some reason, they've changed their state flag, and they've done so much for the 100,000 people that live there that came from Somalia. So it didn't really make sense to me, unless, of course, you want to factor in the probable idea to float out there that these Somalians have paid off these individuals in cash. And so, yeah, it's likely that these politicians have been paid off in cash. And the only reason why I'm able to say that is because I've seen the previous indictment, too, in that last round that we just talked about in 2022. And they did try to bribe one of the jurors, went to their home with $125,000 in cash for them not to convict one of their fellow Somalians in the fraud. So, yeah, no major arrests. Not surprising. Matt, thank you for calling in. I've got about a minute left. So let's get to Karen in Florida. Karen, welcome to the show. Karen, you with us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Karen. Okay, we've got about a minute, so I'll let you carry it away from here. What's going on in Florida?
Well, I'm calling about the Haitians that were imported in here years ago, but when Biden was president, they live right next to me, and there's like 20 of them in one home. They have all brand new cars after Biden got in, and here I am, a single woman. I'm getting ready to sell my home because I can't afford it. I mean, the insurance is $10,000 the last 2 years. It's just sad that these people get handed everything. And, you know, me as a single woman have to work my butt off, and I get nothing, no relief. And yeah, it's so annoying and frustrating. I wish this wasn't happening in our world, but it is. And the Haitians are a big problem in Florida right now. There's so many of them still here from the earthquake, and they just get handed everything. And it's not good.
Yeah. Well, Karen, you're not alone in that frustration. I just want to tell you, I used to live in Florida, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's very, very frustrating that they have been given these passes to be able to do what they want. It's really, really upsetting. Also, and I have to do more digging into this because as a New Yorker, I'm well aware even the Hasidic Jews have been a part of the government fraud for quite some time, but they're never prosecuted either. And that was something that was really frustrating to me. I actually was watching a video, and I just had to fact check it, so I didn't put it on air today, of one person who's claiming that he's gotten the government through the fraud that him and his family has committed to pay for his mortgage, but he owns the home, and through Section 8 housing, they're making those payments to them. Hasidic Jews, historically, because I'm from New York, are the ones who don't get married on paper, and they have their wives claim their children and such when it comes to claiming welfare benefits. So they're rich. There's a lot of scammers out there, not just the Somalians. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. Mehek Cook is on the ground right now in Ohio uncovering some allegations of fraud, and she joins us to discuss in just a moment.
I didn't plug last hour, because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more. at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.